We just ask that you would be with us. We pray that you would help us as we gather here to read your word and to pray to you, O Lord. We thank you that you are our rock, you are our strength. You are the only one that we can cling to and trust in times of trouble. We thank you so much for that. Thank you for your faithful love that abounds to us. Now, as we look at your word, we just pray that you would guide our study. Be with me, help me to speak the truth of your word and nothing else. Lift up all those who are sick or have to be away. Just minister to them where they are, Lord. Speak to them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week we're studying Psalm 61. If you wouldn't mind turning there, and we'll read through the psalm. The title in this version says, Confidence in God's Protection for the Choir Director on a Stringed Instrument, a Psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to thee, when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in thy tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of thy wings. Selah. For thou hast heard my vows, O God. Thou hast given me the inheritance of those who fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life. His years will be as many generations. He will abide before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve him. So I will sing praise to thy name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day. Amen. So what I want to do is look through this psalm briefly, just overview it. And then what I want to do is actually talk about this psalm in the context of prayer. I want to first talk about some things that might hinder us from prayer that come up in this psalm, and then some things that we can consider are encouragements to pray that come from this psalm. This is an intensely personal psalm, yet as we see from the instructions, it was written for the choir director to use, presumably with a congregation singing and with instruments accompanying it. Sometimes we have personal struggles and we don't want to share them with the body. That's not what David does here. David takes an intensely personal experience and he shares it because there's praise to God that comes out of it. And that's what we need to realize when we're going through troubles and trials. There will be praise to God that comes out of those. And so we need to share, not just when we feel that everything's all right and we're praising God looking back, but while we're going through the trial as well. David has been driven out of Jerusalem. Verse 2 talks about, from the end of the earth I call to thee. David feels like he's so far away, it's the end of the earth. And the last time I spoke on Psalm 56, there was a similar situation where David felt like he was so far away. And this is painful to him because he loves to be near the dwelling place of God. He longs to worship God in his dwelling place. And this separation in verse 2 causes him pain. It causes him to cry out to God. We only cry out when we feel we're in desperate need, when we no longer care who hears us except the one we're crying out to. And I ask myself, when was the last time I felt so in need of God that I cried out to Him and I didn't care what anybody around me thought? And that really hit me, because it's not very often, definitely not often enough, because I trust too much in myself. I don't see the need that I'm in, the danger that I'm in. I don't understand that I need God every step of the way. And I want to be like David, who did realize that. Now, commentators are unsure who David was running away from. Was it Saul, Absalom, some other rebellion? Many believe that it was probably later on because of what he says in verse 6, where he says, "Thou wilt prolong the king's life." And so they look at that word king and say, well, David was probably king at this point. However, other people say, well, David was king before he was king. Samuel had anointed David, and so David was king before he was recognized as king. Whatever the stage of life David was in, he's recounting a history of his relationship with God. If we look at verse 3, he says, "You have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against my enemies." In verse 5, "You have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the inheritance." So there is a relationship that David has had with God, a relationship that has shaped his reaction to what's going on around him. David's crying out to God is not unique to this psalm. We find it throughout the Psalms. As I started looking through, there's Psalm 3, verse 4, 5, verse 2, 17, verse 1, and many others. And what we find is that even the great King David still had trials and sorrows in his life. Even the great King David struggled to understand how God's plan would work out. He knew what God wanted for him, but it didn't seem to be happening. And that was a struggle for him. So why should we expect our lives to be anything different? Why should we expect to walk around and not have questions? The key is to do what David did, and that is to move from despair to hope, from worry to confidence, from trusting ourselves to trusting God. Some have questioned why David would ask God to add days to the king's life in verse 6. But consider that David's enemies were trying to end his life, perhaps before he'd even become king. David knew what God's plan was. God had anointed him. And so really what he's asking for here is that God's plan would come about. And of course, we also know that this is referring to Christ. Acts 13, 33 through 37 explains a little bit more about this. But it's interesting to note that David was about 70 years old when he died. And we know from Psalm 90, verse 10, that the length of our days is 70 years. And so it's interesting that God gave him exactly the length of days that is mentioned in that song. So let's talk about some distractions or excuses that might lead us away from prayer and how we can overcome those. Number one, God can't hear me. God can't hear me. I've heard people say this. Well, I don't think I should pray because I don't know that God's going to hear my prayer. And if we look at verse 1, David's kind of thinking the same thing. Give heed to my prayer, O God. I've been praying. Sometimes doesn't it feel, even to believers, that God isn't answering our prayer? But why is this? Isn't it generally because we're not getting the answer that we want in the time frame that we expect it to happen? Isn't it because we lack patience and trust in God's answer? Isn't that true of David? We know the rest of the story of David, how David was king, and he ruled for 40 years. But I'm sure at the time, that didn't feel very imminent for David. He felt like he might be on the run forever and never get back to where he was supposed to be. And we need to, like David, be able to overcome this idea that God can't hear me. Why? Because God always hears us. He's promised to do that, and we'll look at that when we talk about encouragements for prayer. Another objection people might have is, I'm too far away from God. I'm too far away from God. Look at verse 2 there. From the end of the earth, I call out to you. There's this idea of distance. Sometimes we might feel that we're far away from God. Maybe we've been caught up in sin. Or we're amongst ungodly company, and we just don't feel the presence of God. David went through both of those situations. Psalm 51 gives us the story of after he'd been caught in the sin with Bathsheba. And of course, in this chapter, we see that he's physically distant from the dwelling place of God. Maybe even amongst pagan people and not with God's people. But we know again that God did listen to David's prayer, even though he felt like he was at the end of the earth. God heard his cry, and God answered in his perfect time. And God will answer us wherever we are, whatever situation we're in, whoever we're with, as long as we're praying a prayer in faith according to the will of God. Furthermore, unlike David, we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. We should always feel close to God, no matter where we are, because the Holy Spirit made us into a temple that he indwells. What about, I'm not strong enough? If we look at verse 2b, when my heart is faint. Sometimes we feel the weakness of our flesh so strongly that we're afraid to come to God because we don't feel like we will have the strength to obey his answer. It's easier for us just to fail than to try to come to God, because coming to God and doing the right thing requires us to be strong. Sometimes we just feel too weak. David felt like his heart was about to give out, like his emotion, his connection to God was used up. But thank God, as I've already mentioned, that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the encourager to strengthen us. So that, like the martyrs Ridley and Latimer, we can say, be of good cheer, even when they were at the stake. Because the Lord is with us, even in our darkest trial and our weakest moment. You might say, I don't know how to do it. If we look at verse 2c, lead me to the rock. David didn't know how to get there, and that's okay. We need to be led into God's presence. It's good for us to admit that we don't know how to pray aright. It's good for us to admit that we don't know everything that God's Word says. Why? Because that leads us to search for God. That leads us to search the Word and cry out to God to reveal Himself to us through His Word. If we think we know how to do it, then why do we need God to show us the way? And David here is expressing that he needs God to lead him to the rock who is Christ. Another thing that we could say is, my enemies are so close. They're about to overwhelm me, and I'm afraid. Look here. It says, sorry, I've missed the verse here. Well, there was a verse I read, maybe it wasn't in Psalm 61, but talks about the face of the enemy. And sometimes the enemy is so close that we can see, or we feel like we can see the face of the enemy. But in either case, David needs to take refuge. When you need to take refuge, it's because you're being chased. And that's in verse 4b there. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. And the idea is of a hen or some other bird, and the little chicks are running away from the enemy, and the wings come down and you can't see them anymore, and they're totally protected. And that's the way it is for us sometimes. We feel like the world, the enemies of God, are closing in on us, and we can't breathe, and there's no way to escape. But David and the other heroes of the faith who went through this didn't let that stop them from calling out to God. That is precisely when they called out to God. We studied about Joseph in the morning Sunday school. Joseph was in the direst of situations, in prisons, falsely accused, and he's still crying out to God, and everybody knows about it because they're coming to him because they know that he communicates with God. Their fear never kept them from communicating and communing with God. May our fear of men never keep us from deepening our relationship with God. So what are some encouragements to pray then? First of all, God has promised to hear us, as I mentioned before. Let's look at 1 Peter 3:12. We'll be getting to that soon, right, Dean? Let's read from verse 10 then. It says, "For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile, and let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it." Now here is the verse. "For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So clearly, God has promised to hear the prayers of those who seek Him, of the righteous, of those who seek peace and pursue it, of those who refrain from evil and from speaking guile. There's other verses. Psalm 34:17-18. Psalm 34:17-18. You can look at that one. "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit." So we clearly see that God has promised that He will hear the prayers of His people. And we see that from David himself, both from his past experiences and his present. Think about our morning service and Hannah crying out to God and God answering her prayer in the form of Samuel. Scripture is just full of examples of God hearing the prayers of his people. Second, God is omniscient, omnipresent, and all-powerful. There is nowhere we can be, or no trouble too great, that God is unaware and that rescue isn't certain. Think about that. God is everywhere, he knows everything, and he has all power. What are we afraid of? Well, the way David describes it here in 3b is that image of a tower. And when I think of a tower, usually we just think about an impregnable force that can't be taken. When I was thinking about those characteristics of God, a tower is also a place where you can see everything. So not only is it a position of strength, it's also a position of sight. You can see the enemy coming. You can make adequate preparation. You can be aware. It's also a place where you're above everybody else. And if we think about God, that his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, they're far above what any human can comprehend. I think this image of a tower also refers to that. Think about the water tower here. What's the only building you can see in North Olmsted from any distance? The water tower, right? You know why they built the cathedrals so big and tall? Because they wanted people, when they looked at that city, that the only thing they would see is the cathedral, and it would be manifest that there was a presence of God there. And so this image of a tower tells us all these things about God. Not only that there's a strength, a good place to hide, but also that God sees everything and knows everything. Third, God gives us the strength that we need to rise. Here David talks about his heart being faint. He's not sure that he can go on. We have Isaiah 40:31 as a great encouragement against this. It's a famous verse, of course. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength or renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not be weary. The key is in the beginning. Those who wait for the Lord. Those who try to run ahead without God, what happens to them? They get tired and they run out of energy because they're using their own strength. And our own strength is not nearly enough for the task. The only person who can give us the strength that we need is the Lord. And so we should pray because we need God to give us the strength for the battle. And he's promised that he will. Fourth, God will bring us into his presence to live with him. We see this alluded to in verses 4 and verse 7. God will bring us into his presence to live with him. In verse 4, it says, let me dwell in thy tent forever. And then verse 7 says, he will abide before God forever. God, ultimately, we do have a fulfillment of that now. The Holy Spirit, we are his temple. So the Holy Spirit is living within us, but we know the fulfillment at the end of the age. Revelation 21 and 22, we won't look through all the verses, describes what that's going to look like. But if we look at verse 3 of Revelation 21, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Then, of course, we have the whole description of the city and what it's going to look like. But the point is that it is God who's going to come and dwell with us. We already saw that with Christ, fulfilling the same prophecy. But this is going to be an eternal fulfillment. That should be of great encouragement to us to pray, that not only would we understand what it means for God's Spirit to dwell in us, but that the final fulfillment would happen in God's time, and that we would be ready for it, like the bridesmaids with the lamps. If we're not looking for it, we're not going to be expecting it. The New Testament is full of warning about looking for it. Finally, we should be encouraged because God guards us with faithful love and truth in verse 7, part B. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve him. God doesn't want bad things to happen to us. In fact, he's promised to put us in a place where we can never be harmed. Proverbs 30 verse 4 talks about us being in the palm of his hand. John 6:37 promises, I shall lose none of all he has given me. Why is this? Well, it's because of his faithful love. No matter what we do, he's never going to change. And this should be the greatest encouragement to prayer that there is. God is faithful. He's faithful in his love, and he's faithful in his promise. His love is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. All his promises are yea and amen. They will come to pass. And the evil of this world will be destroyed. The truth part, everything that God has said is true. Everything will come to pass. We can pray anything out of this book that God has said that will happen, and we know it will happen. Is there anybody else who can have such confidence in prayer? You know this is going to happen. Pray for it. In conclusion, when God's plan is fully revealed, we will say with David here in verse 8, I will continually sing of your name, fulfilling my vows every day. Although now in our weakness, we may do so imperfectly, we must strive to always be praising and obeying God through his revealed will. As Spurgeon said, faith's greatest triumphs are achieved during her greatest trials. Faith's greatest triumphs are achieved during her greatest trials. I don't know what you're going through right now, but may you be encouraged by God's faithful love, as David was, and let your cries be to God, because it is God alone who can rescue you. Amen. I don't know if anybody had any questions or comments. But God is so awesome. I'm excited. I'm so happy that I got to give this song. It feels like it's a tough time right now. But God is sure. Don't need to be afraid. I put the prayer sheets back on the metal tray there. You can pick them up as you go to your respective areas. Let's just run through some of these here. Let's pray for the Prue family, especially Anna Prue, with that positive